Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MSTC Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deep Modi from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Manoobendra Gosal, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director of Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Roy, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and we can open the line for questions and answers. I now hand over the call to Mr. Manoobendra Gosal. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everybody. This is Manoobendra Gosal. I'm the Chairman and Managing Director of MSTC. Very nice to be talking to all of you. I would like to start with some initial key highlights of the quarter Q3 and the last nine months of this financial year. Operationally, we have, during the first nine months, crossed a level of 1,178.23 billion in terms of the value of goods transacted through our e-commerce and marketing portals. The consolidated financial performance for the first nine months has been at a level of PBT of 233.37 crores, which is an increase of approximately 15 crores over the same Y-on-Y period of last year, an increase of 7.01%. Over the last quarter, some of the key areas where we have gone forward in auction of critical minerals. So for the auction of critical and strategic mineral blocks, 20 critical mineral blocks have been put up for auction, and we've held roadshows for the first tranche of these critical mineral block auctions as well. We've signed an MOU with the Government of Bihar for e-auction of major mineral blocks in the state, and of these, 77 blocks have been successfully auctioned so far. In November 2023, we had also held a real estate conference in collaboration with the CII. So basically, this was about exploring synergies in the real estate sector and finding out areas where we can work with upstream and downstream players and leverage this sector. Many senior leaders from leading groups had participated, along with senior officials of the government. Newly developed integrated web page for our various property auctions, which are conducted by MSTC, was also launched during this conference. Now I'd like to hand over the mic to Mrs. Bhanu Kumar for her short update.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm really delighted that the investors have reposed their confidence in our company for quite some time now, and the kind of queries that you all have been raising in this forum as well as in other forums are praiseworthy, which is what is driving us to keep our services at a very good level, probably beyond expectations sometimes. So towards that end, we are in the process of consolidating business in various sectors, as also going for more automation, reducing human interventions, and bringing in a lot of user-friendly features. So that is where the focus is on right now, and all this will definitely help us in giving better performance year-on-year. Thank you so much. And I'll be taking up all the queries as and when it comes, so maybe we can have a detailed interaction at that point of time. I'll hand over to Mr. Subrata Sarkar regarding the financials of the company.
Very good morning to all of you. So let me start with the standalone financial highlight. We are giving the first comparison of 9 month 22-23 versus 9 month 23-24. Total revenue is down by 13% from 367.49 to 316.23. And as you can see that that the e-commerce has shown just a steady growth. It is from 244.86 to 268.05. And of course, others are remaining the better. And with that results, EBITDA pre-provisioning has come down from 289.1 to 221.76. Profit before tax has come down, has of course gone up with a better net margin from 206.71 to 216.63. And PAT has gone down from 163.17 to 152.41 with higher tax rate. And EPS accordingly has gone down from 23.18 to 21.65. And the cash profit has also shown a declining trend to 157.54 from 245.49. And so far segment is concerned, the total revenue is 367.49 of the previous 9 months, and current year is 316.23. And the e-commerce revenue is 268.05 as compared to the same period of 9 months of the previous year is 244.86. The current year's breakup is from e-auction and e-sale comes the form the major chunk of the e-commerce revenue, that is 203.43. E-procurement always small shareholder here, so it is 0.3.41, and other income of course 61.20. And the marketing has also declined revenue. And the total expenses has also declined. So PBT therefore stands at 216.60 as compared to 206.71. And profit after tax has gone down from 163.17 to 152.41. So far, the consolidated financial highlights are concerned for the 9 month 23-24. Total revenue has dipped from 646.79 to 615.41. And of course, the other elements remaining the same for MSTC. And so far, the segment from FSNL contributing to the consolidated revenue has gone up substantially from 304.31 to 324.78. EBITDA, of course, gone down from 255.29 to 172.44. Share of JV. This year is minus 5.68 as compared to minus 1.65 previous year. And of course, PBT has gone up from 218.09 to 233.37. PAT has, of course, gone down with a similar reason from standalone, 165 to 155.92. And EPS constitutional effect in the EPS is also seen that it is 23.44 has come down to 22.15. And cash profit accordingly has shown a trend. It is from 202 to 135.87. So this is a summary of PL statement also present in the statement in our presentation. So this is all from our side. You can have the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Dr. Amit Vora from the Homeopathic Clinic. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, all the dignitaries. Am I audible clearly?
Yes, yeah. Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sir, my question is regarding the scrap business. I think our scrap business has increased from 101 crore or something to 252 crores or something. I'm not sure of the exact figures. Am I correct in that?
I think not really, not really. I don't know from where you're getting this figure. Scrap has not increased.
Okay.
Scrap recovery and allied jobs in our subsidiary company, that has increased. You are right on that particular thing.
So, this is actually an activity of our subsidiary company.
Okay. So, Okay, I'll just get back again after I find the exact figures in the line.
Fine. Sir.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ayush Agrawal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Right. So I wanted to know, we're looking at a decrease in year-on-year revenue for December 2023. And even if you look at the sequential 9 months, there is a marginal decrease. What are the primary causes of that, especially since it has also resulted in a reduced amount of profitability?
Pardon, your last line was not clear, sir. Can you just repeat your last line?
So I was saying that we not only have we seen a reduced revenue, we've also seen reduced profits. So what is the main cause for that?
Main cause
for reduced profitability. It's a very pertinent question. Sir, if we talk about PBT, so overall PBT has increased. But if you talk about PAT, that which talks about the overall profitability, it has decreased, and you can see very well from that. Last year, there was a taxation, less rate of taxation, average rate of taxation was way. And this year, it is higher because of the PAT. Last year, we had some write-off of bad loan. So that gives us an income tax benefit. That was a taxation rate benefit so far PAT is concerned. But you can see the PBT, it has shown a little higher trend. It has increased, but of course on a flatter trajectory, sir. But here also we can say, here also I can supplement, add one thing here, that the e-commerce revenue, you can look at, it has also not shown that much of growth because our main bread earner is the e-commerce growth, e-commerce revenue. So if that increases, we increase. If it shows the flatter trend, we also on the flatter trend, sir. So that's the main reason for that.
So when we talk about increasing e-commerce revenues, what are the steps that you need to take at the current situation to improve the profitability in that segment?
Basically, e-commerce portfolio, we are always on the lookout for newer clients, adding the basket of our clients. And one major factor that has come across is the scrap rates that have gone down. If you see the year-on-year rates, it has gone down by almost about 10% or so. So that has reflected in this. So to compensate for that, we are always on the lookout for expanding the volume so that this reduction is arrested. So we are in pursuit and we are hopeful that in the last quarter there will be some growth.
Okay, so when we talk about scrap, I understand that scrap is not the only business vertical in e-commerce that you're currently working on. And you also have some e-marketplace and auction level outside of the scrap trade. So where are we standing on that right now?
In fact, for other areas, it is more or less, I won't say it is bad. It is not showing the downward trend. It's a little flatter. One major thing that we have to see here is the iron ore, we are now trading bigger volumes, but there is some stress on reduction of the charges. So that is also one of the contributors to the reduced e-commerce revenue. There we are sure that the volumes are really going to be so high that the reduction will be duly compensated.
Understood. And my last question is regarding your joint venture with Mahindra for vehicle scrapping. What is the status of this JV and what are we expecting going forward in the next 2-3 years?
I'd like to take that one. Our JV has been in operation for the past 5 years on. And at this stage, it has been, the industry itself has been nascent. It's in a growing phase because there's been a substantial amount of regulation which has been, which is coming in at this point of time as guidelines which have been set out by the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways. Now, different states are at different stages of implementing these guidelines as policy, as a policy framework, and which is still happening. It is not yet complete. So once that framework is in place, the incoming of end-of-life vehicles will get streamlined. So we are at the consolidation stage. It is happening. There are challenges, naturally, in terms of there's issues in the portal itself, pending dues on vehicles, challenges from the unorganized sector, which naturally when we look at digitalization and putting the entire process on a digital framework. So these challenges have been coming up. Testing infrastructure is yet to come up in a lot of areas. So all of these have been resulting in constraints in flow of vehicles. We have the capacities in place to cater for the flows. We are very near to the break-even points, and we expect that over the next 2 to 3 years, there would be a substantial settling down and therefore increase in the number of vehicles, number one. Other than that, the government is also been considering the EPR policy, which should also again change the overall outlook for the industry as a whole, where definitely MMRPL would also be a beneficiary.
Right. So just wanted to clarify, when you say break-even, do you mean that the venture is currently not exactly profitable, but you expect it to become profitable going forward?
That is very true.
Yes. And so could you tell me what is the current capacity of your scrapping units, and what levels will it go up when we go forward?
Yeah.
Look, we work on a scalable model, so it would not be correct to talk about exact capacities here, but it is adequate for the load that is there at present and also for conceivable load that we may get over the next 1 to 2 years.
But you could give me a sense of numbers, like say 10,000 units a month or 100,000 units a year.
I'm sorry, it would not be correct for me to talk about numbers at this phase. But may I again reiterate that we have adequate capacities for the vehicles that are getting generated at this point of time, and also over the next 1 to 2 years of expected loads.
Okay. No further questions for now. If I have any follow-ups, I will rerun with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pritam from Wealthvia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, please continue, sir.
Hello, Pritam, sir. I think the line from Pritam, sir, has been disconnected. Forwarding for the next question. Our next question is from the line of Mohit from Mocha Network Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, my main questions are pertaining to the vehicle scrappage policy. There are two ways where MSTC can contribute to this emerging field. One is through its JV, wherein you get vehicles to scrap. And the other stream that I can think of is the scraps that will flow from JV business to the MSTC portal, where you can earn commission on the value created. So there are two questions. One, what kind of revenue we can think of when these vehicles come to our portal, and the other registered scrapping vehicles that are there in the market, will the scraps from those RSVS will also flow through the MSTC portal? Those are my questions.
Okay. So the first question is in respect of scrap that is generated out of processing of the ELV by the RBSF, mainly the JV company, right? So that is definitely going through our portal, but the second part is not through the other RBSFs which are processing those ELVs and generating scrap. They have some tie-up directly with the melting units or the arc furnaces. So that is not happening through our portal. But the main thing that you had started off your question was there are basically two aspects of this ELV business. The first is the auctioning of the ELV as such. NMRPL doesn't get all the vehicles, our daily company doesn't get the all the vehicles directly just because, you know, MSTC is handling the auctions. They also participate in our bidding process and only a fraction of the vehicles they are able to win. So MSTC is generating some revenue out of the auctioning process, and definitely after processing in the JV, there will be some revenue to the JV company. But as I had said earlier, only the scrap that is generated through the JV company that is traded in our, that is auctioned off in our platform, the rest of the RBSFs are not auctioning or, you know, transacting any business through our portal.
Understood. So even in future, there is no possibility of those RSVS transacting through your portal. So that will be direct to merchant to merchant.
Yeah, most of these people are, you know, having some direct arrangements with these, the end users or the melters or the furnaces. So I do not expect, in fact, some of the RBSFs like the big ones like Tata's and all, they consume it directly. They have their own foundries and all. So it doesn't come into the market.
Understood. Now, just two follow-up questions. One, how much would be the recovery from scraps when a car or a vehicle is scrapped? How much can be recovered from that?
You mean to say the ferro scrap or... I can't get your question.
From a vehicle, when a vehicle is scrapped, how much recovery potential is there?
See, there are all kinds of scrap in, that can be recovered from a vehicle, and it depends on the kind of vehicle. There are two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, trucks, commercial vehicles, and all kinds of vehicles. So it depends on the make, model, everything.
Yeah, I mean, talking about a four-wheeler, that is scrap, can we expect around 25-30% value recovery?
See, basically what scrap is, the metal content only has some value. The plastic and other things that are there doesn't have any value. So whatever is the market price for the metal, that we are definitely getting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Surbi from Smithy Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one being, sir, can you tell us when will the sale of your subsidiary Ferroscrap Nigam Limited likely to happen, and what could be the range of valuation? At what stage the sale is right now?
Ma'am, let me clear that in our earlier phone call, the state of the space is being organized and managed by Department of Investment Public Asset Management, and that is DIPAM of Finance, under Ministry of Finance. So that any update get in their website. So as of now, there is a process is going on, that much we can comment. So for valuation is concerned, we are not basically not going to comment right now at this.
So it will not be appropriate for us to.
Yes. So because to be formalized the sharing. Whenever everything is there, updates are available. It is updated on the record.
So it would not really be appropriate for us to comment on anything on this issue in this at this stage.
Okay, sir. Another question is that will you be handling the sale of spectrum which is likely to be auctioned?
Yes, spectrum auctions we have been doing for the past 3 years, and today also there was a news report that for some more frequencies also will be auctioned. That also will be carried forward by MSTC.
Okay, and my last question is, can you explain the reason for increase in other expenses and employee expenses for the quarter?
Yeah, it is the because of the agreement that has been negotiated with our section of the employees.
Sorry, sir, for the interruption, but your voice is not clear.
Right now, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's better now.
Yeah. So basically, so far the other expenses, it has not shown that much of jump. It is a simple just a certain our conference expenses and etc. that has been come up. But so far, employee expenses increase, right, it is there, mainly contributed by the certain agreement that we have extended with our employees. So one portion, little bit portion is for one time, and others will be some perpetual. So, but of course, we are, as we are coming, we are trying to maintain it around, total overhead is around 110, around we are trying to maintain it. So far, services will be around 110.
Sir, can you just repeat the amount of the overhead that you said? It was not clear.
Yeah, we are trying to maintain right from the day one that we are telling our investor, it is around 100. So with the inflationary pressure coming up, so it will be around 110 to 120 or not, it will be going in that hovering area. We are trying to, with this scalable operation, with the operation that we are doing right now, we are trying to maintain that way. And the second, to supplement that, the experiment was due from 1-1-2017 to the section of the employees.
Okay, sir. Okay, that was quite helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, sir, from the management line. There is a little airy sound coming.
Airy, sir. Now, right now, it is clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please.
Okay, sir. Our next question is from the line of Miraj from Ahead Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, sir, I wanted to understand that you have taken part in the real estate conference. Just wanted to understand what kind of scope is possible here and what are we planning over here. So exactly what will be the layout? Will there be estate properties or land plots coming up for sale through our website, our platform? And if so, then what would be the revenue model that we planned?
Okay. So I'll take this question. We have been highlighting in the past also, from time to time, many of our clients, both in the government sector and sometimes even in the private sector or court-monitored processes, they have been approaching for a good and a very dynamic auction platform for all kinds of immovable properties. So about 3 years back, we had an agreement with the Department of Financial Services, and we created a dedicated portal for all the NPAs of the banks. Based on the success of that model, we wanted to enlarge that basket, and we thought, you know, we will be approaching the liquidators, the assets under, the fixed assets under IBC processes, and then there are a lot of development authorities, Yamuna Expressway had participated in the DDAs, and in fact, every state has its own development authority. So all these people are also having some kind of sale, some kind of auctioning. And there are requirements that come to us from time to time. Apart from that, the government has also been focusing on monetization of assets of PSUs. So we have been doing a lot of asset sale for big ticket sale for Air India, BSNL, and many big PSUs. So in order to bring all this to the knowledge of the public, and also to take a feedback on how we can improve our services, how we can automate it, how we can bring in more transparency, and how we can expand the basket. We had organized this seminar for real estate. So our focus so far has been only on B2B segment. Now we would also like to be in the B2C segment. So towards this end, it was more of an awareness campaign plus gauge the business opportunities that are available. So it's just one of the series that we will be starting. In fact, a couple of years back, we did have a conference for the mineral sector. So sector-wise, we are now going to focus so that all opportunities can be tapped and we can grow our practice. That is the idea.
Understood. So now over here, just to sum it up, we are also focusing on the B2C segment in terms of sales. And there has been a positive feedback from PSUs as well regarding the sale for properties and through IBC. Insolvency and bankruptcy process, whatever the properties are there, there's been a positive feedback from their side as well for sale of that.
I won't say positive feedback, but that is also from time to time we are doing it. But it's not in a very structured mechanism. So see, we've just wanted to showcase what kind of infrastructure we have so that anyone in this area looking for a good service provider is aware that we are there.
Understood. Okay. My next question is regarding the vehicle scrappage policy and our role in it. I wanted to understand what kind of triggers are currently present because there are a lot of moving parts, I believe, over here. I wanted to understand what are the main triggers and what kind of volumes we could do over here.
As far as the triggers are concerned, Miraj, one of the major issues that any of the RVSFs are facing, of which MMR PL is one, is the fact that there are still a lot of states which are in nascent stages of implementing the policy framework which was visualized by the MORTA guidelines. Now, the availability of vehicles then becomes dependent on that particular state having that framework in place. And with the data also being populated in the Vahan portal, because as per the guideline now, a vehicle can be accepted only if a certain amount of data is available on the Vahan portal. If it is not, then even if the vehicle is available, it cannot be accepted for scrapping. So that is a constraint which we are facing at this point of time, which is being sorted out state to state. And once that is done, and there would naturally be other smaller issues of pending dues on end-of-life vehicles. So that is acts as a little disincentive, because if a pending due has to be, it is essential that it is to be cleared before it can be scrapped. So that acts as a disincentive for the seller, for the individual who is then handing it over to a registered vehicle scrapping facility. Other than this, there is a major challenge from the unorganized sector, which has been working in this. I mean, they have been the people who have been working in this area for all this time. And naturally, since compliances are not so much of an issue in that sector, so that puts an initial organized vehicle scrapping scrapper at a disadvantage, at least in the initial phase. To take care of this, we have been trying to develop a completely digitalized platform right from the initial phase of when a customer logs in, gives us the vehicle details, and then the entire process to be digitally seamless is what has been the model that we have been working on. Apart from this, states are also putting up testing infrastructure, which is a major requirement for being able to implement this policy. And the third thing which I had mentioned earlier is that the government is also thinking of coming in with an EPR policy, which will also substantially increase the size of the market, because that puts a substantial amount of responsibility on the OEMs for scrapping vehicles which they have manufactured at the beginning of life
and using that scrap material for manufacturing their new vehicles. So once that entire process also gets formalized, the policy gets formalized, it will be definitely of benefit to the organized and ethical players in this sector.
Understood, understood. Just on the end of life vehicle part that you mentioned, from a previous conference, I believe that in FY25 we were supposed to receive a large chunk of government vehicles that were coming in for scrapping. So can you just reiterate the number over there, and is there any hiccups on that part?
See, these numbers were coming from different states at various points of time. But as sir has just now pointed out, these also have to follow this process only. And the challenges of APS, the ecosystem, the digitization, the issues and the uploading of details in the Vahan, then encumbrances on these vehicles, these challenges will have to be addressed so that these vehicles can actually come for sale, for scrapping.
Understood. Okay. Secondly, ma'am, if you could, sir, if you could just tell me what is cash balance currently on books?
Sorry, can you repeat?
That the cash balance currently on books?
Cash.
Yeah, sir, that much we can tell that this time we have not drawn up the balance sheet for the limited review, so it is deemed for in the mark. But the cash position is quite enough to run the day-to-day operations as well as for the future expense. And that much we can assure. And we'll come up with the exact balances as on 31st March that it starts today in the next conference, sir.
Understood. So in FY23, I was just checking the numbers. We had, from our portal, we had scrapped 2,000 vehicles. And we had mentioned that we are expecting another 15 lakh vehicles to be scrapped in FY24. So will that figure be coming in FY24 or 25?
It looks a little difficult even in FY25 because of all the reasons that we had just spelled out a couple of minutes back.
Okay, so it looks to be difficult to be executed in till FY25, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. No worries. And my last question before I get back in the queue, could you just help me with the guidance going forward? What are the guidance that we might give for FY25?
I think it is a little too premature to talk about that.
And Miraj, besides, I mean, it would not be appropriate for us to, you know, talk about any numbers because that would be speculative. But yes, we are looking to for consolidation in our existing areas of business as well as looking for new clients. As ma'am had talked about a short while ago, I mean, that is a continuous effort to scale up the business that we have available with existing clients and to increase our basket of clients, particularly in the e-commerce sector.
Understood. Okay. I'll just get back in the queue. I have a few more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anibhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is basically, we have historically seen fourth quarter volumes to be significantly higher than the rest of the year. So just wanted to understand how have the trends been for us till date for fourth quarter, and also how the scrap prices have moved around.
Can you repeat the last sentence?
How have the scrap prices moved around as of now? Have they been on a better side? So just wanted to understand how has the e-commerce business been performing in the fourth quarter?
E-commerce business has shown slight improvement, but more precisely it's on a flatter trajectory. The scrap prices, if you want us to analyze, then on a 9-month basis, compared to last year, it has shown a downward trend by almost about 10%. So that has actually, made this e-commerce revenue a little flatter. But as far as the other, sub-segments of e-commerce is concerned, there we have seen better revenue. Another thing that I had pointed out was regarding the iron ore. The iron ore volumes have gone up, but somewhere it has not translated to revenue, mainly because we were stressed to reduce the charges. So the volumes have gone up, so it is a little flatter as of now, but as the volumes build up in the coming months, the revenue stream will also be a little better.
Understood. And going forward, which are the new areas that you are targeting to drive the e-commerce business? And if possible, can you share a broader long-term guidance at which the e-commerce revenues could continue to grow?
Actually, we are working on a few things right now. It will be a little premature to talk about it. So maybe in the coming months, we will be able to address this.
Okay, but we are seeing the whole segment as in to grow in double digits over coming, I think, 3-4 years to the least. That would be correct interpretation?
The past trend has been like that. We also hope that it continues.
Okay. I think that was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vinay from Hathway Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to know the three segments that we have, the scrap, the vehicle scrap, and your e-auctions and marketing. Now, if I can just get a fair bit of understanding in that e-auctions, you again have some of iron ore auctions and spectrum auctions and various things.
Yeah.
Do we have a what exactly is the profitability model for the e-auction? You get flat fee or you get a commission of the value traded, or how is it?
Actually, it's a mix of both. We had addressed this in the past investor concalls also. So in certain areas, we go on a percentage basis, but in certain like spectrum or coal auctions, it is on event basis, even say mineral blocks. So it is a mix of models, and the revenue streams are also quite different. Sometimes we charge the seller, sometimes we charge the buyer, sometimes it is just a transaction cost. So there's no one fixed model.
So as an investor, how do I kind of understand what would be the sustainability of this revenue going forward? Because this is one of your major businesses, right? If there is no figure I can go with, is there any ballpark figure that you look to say that at least this much is what the company is supposed to earn out of this?
See, if you have seen the sub-segments, we have scrap, iron ore, coal, e-procurement, etc. So, scrap is more or less, which is almost about 50% of our total e-commerce revenue. That is on a percentage basis. So, if that is up, then obviously the revenue is also up. As far as e-procurement or the goal is concerned, that is on event basis. So right now we can't say how many events will be carried out or, you know, how much coal will be traded or what will be the income stream from that. So it is a mixed bag. See, when it is a mixed bag, it will be very difficult to say which particular subsegment will do well.
And this e-commerce as a whole would be what, around 75-80% of your business? Even going forward?
Mainly, e-commerce is our main business. The trading, which we are practicing only one particular model, there again, the volumes are not really coming up. So the focus of the area is definitely is e-commerce only.
At this point of time, yeah. Yeah, and that would be approximately what part of the business? Because it's in the segment revenue, I can see that. But is that likely to be the trend even going forward?
Yes, as of now, yes.
Okay, and then on this vehicle scrap policy also, you have a center in Noida, right? Where you have this. Is there a locational advantage? Sorry?
MMRPL.
The JV company has a center.
Yeah. That company where you have a JV. The only thing is proximity to various places important, or how does this go? I mean, do we have to get all the vehicles to one place and get it here, so transportation cost will get added? How competitive would you be in that sense by having it so far?
here I would say that it is a general radius of maybe about 100 or 200 kilometers, which is a catchment area for a particular center. So transportation cost within or almost any distances within that is not substantially different.
Okay, so, and how many centers like this we have?
At this point of time, I think we have seven centers at this point.
And all of them are equally variable city, or is there
41 collection centers.
41 collection centers. Okay. And in this case, the modus operandi is you have to pay something to the, I mean, how is the profitability model here? How does this work? Like you said, in scrap, it is percentage of, here, how does this work, the profitability?
This is completely, that is, it's an independent thing that is being done by the JV company. It is, we are not actually involved in the day-to-day operations of this company.
Okay, but you get 50% share of that?
Yeah, because we are the management, that's it.
Okay, and, okay, fine. So, I would not know how exactly is that valued, because that is going to be a major stay going forward.
That would be a significant part going forward over the, as I mentioned, that the industry is still nascent, the guidelines and framework is coming into place. So we definitely have hopes of this area becoming a very significant area for us in the future.
So as an investor, would I know what kind of profitability model that significant portion will have going forward? Is it percentage? How is it? I mean, I just can't understand how that works.
I would not like to talk about numbers. That would be speculative.
No, not numbers. Not numbers. I just want, I mean, is it, how do I put it? How do you value that business going forward?
Let me supplement, sir. You are talking about the profitability and the revenue model. Here, the simple life is you buy a scrap vehicle, generate and segregate scrap out of that, sell that in the market, purchase and sell price difference. Simple manufacturing where you can collect. It's like a pseudo manufacturing activity, not just getting retrieving scrap out of that junk vehicle and selling it to the market. So that is the model.
Thank you. I got it. So it is basically you buy the vehicle, scrap it and sell the scrap. That's it. I mean,
that's an allied thing, of course.
Fine. Thanks a lot. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Thank you.
this is in, sorry. This is in line with the previous questions. Can you draw up a conceptual map of the predominant business today of e-commerce, the kind of opportunity, long-term kind of evolution of that activity, the challenges and the positives that you see? Along with that, again, a conceptual map of many new opportunities which are either at the drawing board or which reasonably are conceptualized and we can think of what it can represent. I'm not necessarily seeking any precise numbers, but I'm seeking philosophy, thought process, and how you are conceiving the overall opportunity set for your business, both your existing as well as the ones which are which are being done but work in progress, and the new opportunities that are being conceptualized. If you can present a picture of that in broad details with possible size of opportunities you can throw in, that will be very helpful.
See, as we had said earlier, the focus is on expanding our e-commerce business portfolio. And for this, at least in the last 4-5 years, you can see that scrap has been the main focus area. More than 50 to 55% of our revenue is coming from sale of scrap. Now, whatever scrap we are selling is more in from the government sector. So the we have in the past also talked about our foray into the private sector scrap. And we have been adding almost all the big names in our portfolio. And that is a focus area. We will definitely be, you know, handling more scrap from the private sector. That is an untapped area. Second thing is, you know, digitizing any commercial transaction. That obviously has been the strength of this company. And because of these strengths, because of what we have done in the past, we command a fairly good, you know, credibility in the market. And we are getting opportunities. So we are now actually working on various models because each and every model cannot be translated to business immediately. So we are still contemplating as to which are the focus areas that we need to work on. So maybe after a couple of months, we will have a clear focus on where we want to be and what we don't want to do.
But I'm sure given the fact that it is an operating business and some part of it is fairly clear and obvious and concrete, why is that our roadmap ahead is something which is still something to be drafted? Why are we not able to articulate on that?
See, we can articulate once we are very clear in our minds. We are working on various models, as I said very clearly. Let us all come to a consensus internally. After that, maybe I can spell it out to you. But right now, it's a little premature to talk about this.
Okay. On the existing activities, can you, by segment, can you throw light on opportunities and challenges on each of them and the potential size of opportunity in that area?
I would take some more time to answer this query. I mean, maybe I won't be able to answer it today. Maybe in the next con call, we will have some clear insights in that area.
Yeah, that would be helpful because as the earlier participant also was raising questions, how do we get a picture into the glimpse into the future? One is not looking at numbers, but one is definitely looking at the thought process and opportunity mapping so that we can formulate our own view as to how that may happen, what can be potential roadmap on that. But if that itself is something not very articulated, then it becomes very difficult to formulate a view on the business.
I understand. At this point, what we would like to say is that, of course, e-commerce is an area where which is our core area of operations at this point of time. So scaling up as well as looking at different sectors where e-commerce is not the norm at this point of time would be a large part of the way going forward. Apart from this, for exponential growth, we have been examining multiple other scenarios internally. But we would definitely, we have not come to a final conclusion about the three or four particular sections that we would like to go forward in. And that is something which is in process at this point.
May I request and expect that when we have this call again, say in 3 months' time, can we have a more meaningful and detailed discussion on existing activity and mapping as well as a potential roadmap on the new opportunities, which are, even if they are at a conceptual stage or thought process stage, if you can articulate, that will be helpful.
We'll certainly try to do that.
We will try that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Dr. Amit Vora, the homeopathic clinic. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is regarding the segment results, the segment profit. So the first marketing, e-commerce and others, and then there's the scrap recovery and allied jobs. Wherein this quarter we have shown a result of 25.87 crore as compared to last year's 10.98 crores and the preceding quarter, that is September quarter, 10.94 crores. So what has led to increase in business in this part of, or is it seasonal?
Yeah, this is, let me explain, Dr. Sir, this scrap and allied recovery job, it is basically from our subsidiary, Ferro Scrap Nigam Limited, right?
Okay.
So this year, this FSNL, this quarter has done a better result because of this operation. So that's why that thing is gone up. That's our first question, right? So that has gone up.
Okay. So can I repeat once again? Is it because the Ferro Scrap has done better? That's why this quarter is showing better results.
Scrap recovery and allied jobs is mainly done by the JV company, and because of their increase in revenue, the figures are reflecting that same.
JV company is one with Mahindra, the same JV company you're talking about?
No.
This is Ferro Scrap Nigam Limited. That is our 100%.
Okay, got it. Sorry for that. Okay. Yeah, one more question. We had recently read in the Sting paper that the government of India is planning to remove some 8 lakh old buses and replace it with electric buses. So can we see opportunity in business of those 8 lakh buses which are regular buses, diesel or petrol buses, to be scrapped?
Which particular news report are you talking about?
It was in Economic Times around a month back that Government of India is planning to remove all the state transport buses which were of petrol and diesel and replace it with around 8 lakh electric buses, e-buses.
Yeah, so that is definitely
an opportunity.
Yeah, that is definitely an opportunity, but then this is just at the planning stage, and you will appreciate that replacing such a large volume of vehicles will not happen overnight. So this will definitely be coming in a phased manner over a few years.
5 years or something. Definitely I agree with that. But as we see that now gradually buses are being replaced by e-buses. So do we see opportunity in the old buses for ourselves?
Yes, definitely.
In terms of scrap and other businesses.
In fact, all the road transport corporations, the end-of-life vehicles we are selling, and the vehicle scrap also we are only selling, so that is an opportunity for us.
Okay. Even the other parts of the vehicle like the mirrors or the FM radios, and that also you see if we auction, we have a margin there also. I read somewhere that we on MSTC that we can have, if we get that auction, if we are getting that auction, then we can have a margin somewhere around 25 to 50% in the apart from the scrap.
Yeah. See, there are vehicle sale. One is the vehicle being sold as ELV. So there it is sold through our platform to the RVSS. Now RVSS are the dismantlers of those vehicles who are removing those parts and which can be sold in the spares market. So this basically is an activity of the RVSS, and one of those RVSS is our own JV company.
Okay.
The parts are not auctioned in our platform directly. So this is actually a product that comes out when the dismantling happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the JV company, whatever parts are there, so it is an activity that is being done by them. And they, of course, do sell all these parts in the market.
Yeah. Apart from this metal part, the remaining parts also have good margin value, around 25 to 30-40% margin.
It depends on demand supply conditions. If some vehicle which is really obsolete and those parts are not at all required by anybody in the market,
obviously
the inventory just lies there.
Okay. Anything else that you see future businesses opportunities, if you can discuss your few, anything apart from whatever you mentioned from e-commerce and the scrap, anything else that you foresee?
We have been mentioning that the e-commerce, nobody has actually mapped the potential that is there in the market. So any transaction can be converted to an e-commerce activity. So as and when we come across any activity that can be digitized, we are focusing on that area and, developing a software or doing transactions in that area. So that is why it is very difficult for us to make a strategy for one sector and then go ourselves full throttle in that sector only. We are seeing all the opportunities and whatever is possible immediately without much of, developing that entire sector, that we are able to put in our fold. But going forward, the opportunities are infinite and we would definitely want to tap each of these opportunities that come our way.
Thank you so much. One last question about the Standard Chartered Bank. We got some refund of around 90 crores. Can you elaborate on that, if possible?
Yeah. Actually, we have told in the earlier con call that in order to revive our DRAP appeal, so we had to deposit that 90 crores in the DRAT. So consequence upon the DRAT order, accepting our play, we won the case against the bank. And the 90 crores was refunded along with interest. That is appearing in other income in our books, and it is appearing in the notes accompanying our financial statement that we have put in the second quarter and the third quarter as well, sir.
Okay. Any further amount we recover from that JV, from that case?
Yeah, it was not per se, it was deposited, and the whole amount that was deposited that has been recovered right now. So
currently 90 crore has been recovered. How much extra is expected?
Yeah, it is, the case is sub judice at this point, at this time, with different forums like that we have mentioned in the Honorable High Court of Mumbai and DRT, and of course at Calcutta courts. So we cannot comment right now on any further gain out of that case. So it is...
Got it. Got your point. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the answers. Really obliged. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Guruvindra Singh from Vodafone Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I have a quick question. Strategically, I wanted to understand why would you be wanting to sell Ferro Scrap Nigam Limited? It is in the same business as your core business. I'm unable to picture the strategy behind that sale process being initiated.
Not appropriate for us to comment on. As I mentioned earlier, this is a decision that which has been taken by the government, so it's not really appropriate for us to ask us to comment on that issue, please.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. And now I end the conference over to management for the closing comments.
Thank you for such incisive questions on our results. And some of the questions that you people keep raising from time to time have actually given us some direction into how we should work and what are the areas that we should concentrate on. So please continue supporting us like this, and thanks for the continued patronage.
Thank you very much. And as we discussed during this con call, there would be a lot of areas where we need to really crystallize what is the way forward for us. And it is discussions like this which actually push that agenda forward and put it on the front burner. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you from our side. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Good day.